The Sharpshooters, episode 75, June 3rd, 2006. Welcome to the Sharpshooters Wrestling Podcast. I'm Eric.
And I'm Marcus the Grand Red Finale.
Hoorah! Welcome to episode 75 of the Sharpshooters Podcast. We have already introduced ourselves. Man, how's your week been going, Marcus, for this week in wrestling? How did it go for you?
I think it was all right. Nothing spectacular.
You know what?
No news.
I'm actually totally amped for this week. I can't wait to get into the show. That's why we're going to get right into
it. You can't wait?
No.
You can't wait?
I cannot.
Then what are you waiting for?
I'm waiting for you to finish talking. So let me give out our website. That's thesharpshooters.blogspot.com. Our email address is thesharpshooters@gmail.com.
Hoorah.
You can also leave us a voicemail via Skype with the username thesharpshooters. Or you can dial the number 310-928-6889. Now, as Marcus mentioned earlier in the show, we have no news. So we're going to do a couple of different things. Just let the first segment simmer with you guys before we get into our reports. Now, Marcus, first off, as he always do when we have new members on the Frapper Map, who joined our Frapper Map this week?
Today, this week on the Frapper Map, it was Jimbo from White Plains, New York.
Hoorah!
Gabriel from, I'm probably going to mispronounce this, Portimão, Algarve, Portugal.
You could have just said Gabriel from Portugal. You know, it wouldn't hurt.
That could have been easy.
But anyway, hoorah.
Or all hail Gabriel and all hail Jimbo.
Okay,
Jimbo. And then there's James from Tewkesbury, England. Yes. Hoorah, all hail King James.
Exactly. Oh, is that all, Marcus? James.
Huh?
Is that anymore?
And that's pretty much it. We got some cool vote comments.
Oh, wait, hold on before we go there. Welcome everybody to the Frapper Map. Now Marcus has some other things. He was perusing the web and our lack of news. And now he said we have found comments.
Yes, comments in the from podcast from the vote. It's Eric Quest to try to get to the top 100.
Yes.
We are currently at 4-something, I think. We did get 3 votes for June so far. One of them from Eat Cereal, and he writes, we're innovators.
Innovators of hardcore podcasting.
Is that what it said?
No, I'm just...
We're not hardcore.
I don't do this. I just read. Okay, go ahead, Mars. Continue.
And then we had one from Gabriel, who said we should be the commentators from Heat and Velocity.
And that would be fun if they had ever said, you know what, Eric and Marcus, we have some trouble. We need you guys to fill in.
Steve Romero and Josh Matthews is not getting it done.
Yeah, you know, and you guys can be uncandid, unscripted, uncut. It's on.
That would be, well, we wouldn't be able to be unscripted.
You never know. All right, Mark, continue with the comments.
What the hell's wrong with this comedy?
Move my mic. Go ahead.
And then finally, we got a review in iTunes, which you can also do. From, I believe it was Eat Cereal as well. I forgot to write that down, but I think it was. And he writes, we have an old school feel. He gave us 4 stars. The best wrestling podcast going.
Judge.
Today, Eric and Marcus compliment each other's styles very well. I don't know what I wrote there.
Okay.
Of a new age gorilla. Oh, we're a new age gorilla monsoon and Bobby Heaton. Oftentimes these days, I miss out on the first half of Raw and because of a 24 and miss SmackDown altogether. So I just sit back and listen to the Sharpshooters and give me the highs and lows of the past week in the wrestling.
And I appreciate that we can bring that to you, Mr. Eat Cereal.
And I really need to write better.
You do, but I told you that from the get-go. So thanks for all the comments and all the praise and stuff like that. We appreciate it.
Hoorah to everybody.
Now, once again, we still don't have news. And as everybody knows who's been listening to this show, I am currently on strike, and I do not watch Velocity and Heat. But occasionally, Marcus does check out these shows.
It's not occasionally. It's like every week.
Every week he does watch the show. So, Marcus, let us know what's going on in Velocity right now.
I was normally giving this in the end.
But we have nothing to give at the beginning.
But wouldn't it be the same time?
No, Marcus.
All right. I guess I have my clothes out. On Heat, you got really nothing.
Okay.
You got a Hacksaw Eugene tag match against really jobbers. Charlie Haas was in the squash match. Murdoch and Cade reunites, had a little dissension at the beginning, and defeats this kid Goldust.
Okay, and on Velocity, what do we have?
Velocity is a totally different story. Well, not really. First, you get Gunner Sky and Simon Dean, which I thought was pretty entertaining. It was all right. Nothing really special, but it was a nice match to check out. But the one thing that you need to check out on Velocity this week, tag team match, the High Flyers, London and Kendrick, versus the Mexicos, Psychosis and Super Crazy. This was a pretty good match with a shocking ending because, I don't know, I just reported it, doesn't matter. Because pretty much London and Kendrick loses to the Mexicos, but because Psychosis cheated by grabbing the tights and holding the illustrious, the unstoppable middle rope. And they get the 1-2-3. Psychosis is having a little dissension with Super Crazy because Super Crazy doesn't really like what Psychosis done because it was a fair, they were showing respect, they were shaking each other's hands pretty much all through the match.
Oh.
And Super Crazy was upset, but then he came around and was like, okay, we got the victory.
That sounds pretty interesting. Was there any other high spots of Velocity?
No.
That's pretty much it. Now, like I said, until WWE gets the picture that there are more people out there that have computers that are not just Windows-based, I will not watch Velocity and Heat. I am on strike. TNA gets it. You can watch TNA on no matter which computer because you know why? They encode it in Flash. Anyway, I'm not even going to get there.
Anyway, this is a new thing I guess I do. I review Heat Velocity for those who have Mac systems.
Why not?
They can't see it. Why not?
Or you can
I'm not going to write it down.
Or you can at least tell you what matches happened on that. I mean, that could be something that we can do. That's a new segment we can add, you know, at the end of the week. But anyway, the first half, the first segment of the show has been completed.
Has it?
Yeah, no
it
news.
It just breezed by with such juicy news.
So anyway, we're going to take a short break. We'll be back with TNA Impact, the report. Welcome, everybody, to the TNA Impact Report. TNA, of course, aired on Thursday nights. And just let's jump into the show. How did the show start off? It started off with Jeff Jarrett walking down to the announce table, said he is not waiting, and he wants to know if he's wrestling tonight. TNA says he will find out when everyone else finds out. He says that there's one more person in the back who's also wants to know when he's going to fight, and that's Scott Steiner. This is when Scott Steiner comes down to the ring, and he attacks down rest. And I can assume, Marcus, you were happy at this point. Am I correct?
Now, first, I was a little disappointed with the old, let's attack the announcers again. Because what the hell do they really know? Other than Tanae, you know.
According to Jarrett, they know everything because since we've been watching TNA, when Jarrett wants some information, he goes to the announce table.
When anybody had a problem, he was like, he got a bone to pick with Zabisco. Zabisco is back there.
Yeah, but the question is, Marcus, back to it. He attacked Don West. Steiner, did Steiner score any points with you at this point?
Steiner cannot score points with me, but I give points to Jarrett for ordering Steiner to attack.
So you're saying that this wasn't under Steiner's own thought process, it was because of Jarrett?
Yes, because Steiner doesn't think.
Yeah. All right, so Steiner drags West into the ring while Jarrett yells they want answers. Steiner then demands that Zabisco gives him Sting tonight. Question, why couldn't he just walk into the office like you said?
I know. He could have just walked into the office. Don West is just there. I mean, if you attack Don West, what is that? That's not no great sacrifice for Larry Zbysko. He will survive without Don West. Now, if you took out Tanae, he's in trouble.
Yeah, so now they're beating up Don West. And then, I guess.
They didn't hit him.
Well, they were roughing him up. Now, the part I didn't like is Sting comes out. Sting walks down to the ring nonchalantly. It's like, okay, I ain't got nothing. You know, like, normally when you make a save, you make a run attempt or something like that.
He's old.
But that just means he doesn't like Don West that much either. So he gets in there, he delivers some chops and some punches, and eventually Jarrett escapes the ring. But as Jarrett is walking up the ramp, Raven comes out, and he beats up Jarrett.
Yes.
Which I thought was pretty good.
That was a nice little touch right
there. I think that the outfit that they have on Raven right now actually works for him, because everybody knows Raven is fat, but this outfit kind of covers up his fatness.
Really. He looks horrible to me. He just looks like, damn.
I'm not.
You look at him, you're like, you know, damn.
You know what?
Rabbit.
I'm just going to move on, because I don't want to spoil. I don't want to jump ahead.
All right. Let me get back into this. I would say a serviceable opening segment.
Actually, I will not disagree.
It jumped in.
This was a good opening to the show.
It just jumped into there. No hesitation. Jared didn't give too long of a speech about why he was attacking.
He
just wanted to now, slap nuts.
Yeah, he didn't
Don't
say
Don't piss
slap
me
nuts.
Off. When like he just pretty much wanted to know. He came down there and he did what he had to do.
Yeah, then
and he didn't get no answer.
And after that, they aired a video package where it put emphasis on the King of the Mountain tournament and the remaining participants who have not fought yet: Raven, Sting, Steiner, and Jarrett. And it was like, who will be the last remaining members? So after that, we move into the first match of the night. You have AMW versus AMW, James Storms and Wildcat Chris Harris
with Gail Kim
versus the Naturals. That was Andy Douglas and Chase Stevens.
Yay!
Minus Shane Douglas. I thought he was coming
down.
Well,
he's not aligned with him officially
yet.
He just comes down and just looks down like, ain't this a shame?
Yeah, so anyway, the Naturals double-team James Storm and land a bulldog into Chase Stevens' knee. They do a double-team flapjack, and then we go to commercial. When we get back from break, James Storm does an airplane spin bomb on Douglas. Stevens is then tagging, and he flurries and clears out the ring. Gail Kim jumps on the apron with the Billy Club, but AJ and Christopher Daniels come down for the save. Style pie faces, as they call it, Kim down to the mat.
Ah, that was a slug.
Where in Daniels' hands, I believe he handed the Billy Club to Chase Stevens, who in good guy fashion, like, I don't want to use this. I don't want to use this.
What the hell?
After that, James Storm sneaks up behind him, punches him, scores the victory. They didn't specify this, but I'm under an impression that when he punched him, he hit him with the handcuffs.
Yeah, I'm assuming he had the handcuffs.
Because that's the only reason why he would be laid out by that punch. Because
unless, Chris Harris or
it was James Storm that did it.
James Storm?
Yeah.
Unless he has that one hit a quitter, just like, doop.
Yeah, but I just can't see that happen.
The power of the punch.
Once again, I thought this was a serviceable opening match.
I thought it was serviceable other than, why didn't Chase Stevens want to hit them with the club?
I don't know.
Wasn't at one point, and I don't know this for sure, but I have speculation.
They hated each other.
That the Naturals were the bad guys in this situation. They used to be the dirt, and AMW were the faces.
Back in the day.
So why not, you know, put them in somewhat middle of the road and do this? Instead, they got their ass handcuffed to the ropes and beaten to a, well, just beaten, as Shane Douglas walked along.
I don't know what Shane Douglas is going to do. Is he going to give them the killer instinct? Is he going to make them want to cheat? I mean, exactly what are his purpose is going to be? Another thing I don't like is that it's still putting focuses on AJ and Christopher Daniels. What is their major malfunction? Why all of a sudden they want to team up together? Have the tag team belts become this precious, or are they just sick of seeing AMW with the belts?
I think they just have nothing else to do.
That could
because
be a possibility.
Samoa Joe is busy on his crusade of being the ultimate badass and not even really appearing much. I believe he's hurt.
I'm going to ask you a question. This is so off air. Do you see my Powerade?
No, I do not.
Where the hell is my Powerade? I guess I have to find it when we get on. So we're moving back up to the show. Jeremy Borash is interviewing Alex Shelley. He wants to know what's up with his actions with Kevin Nash. Shelley says his camera is his business and he feels disrespected. Kevin Nash then walks in and said he can make Shelley a star, and he asked him who was his opponent was tonight. Shelley said Jay Lethal, and Nash said, does he have his camera? Alex said, always, but he lost his tripod. Kevin Nash said he had his tripod right here. Pretty much influencing that I'm about to come out there with you, and
yes,
I'm going to watch your back.
Yes, and also, what's with Alex Shelley trying to become a star? It's like, he reminds me of an 18-year-old girl going to a club, meet some guy, he's like, I can make him into a star.
But what I like about this segment is that they actually finally announced the relationship between Kevin Nash and Alex Shelley.
He just doesn't follow around in interviews.
Yeah, it's like, it's always been that key factor of how did Kevin Nash get to where he was at. You know, he done had some assistance somewhere. What is he doing? The question is, when will Kevin Nash turn on Alex Shelley?
Well, when will Alex Shelley turn on Kevin Nash?
I can't see that happen.
I can see that happening.
I don't know. So anyway, we go into the match. It's Alex Shelley with Kevin Nash versus Jay Scrappy Dog Lethal.
Whee!
Lethal landed a sidekick on Shelley, followed by a back suplex. Shelley worked over Lethal's arm. Shelley applied a bridge hammerlock on Lethal. He placed Lethal in the corner and delivered knees to the chest. Shelley charged again, but Lethal caught him with an elbow and a kick off the middle rope. Shelley flurried and landed a head scissors takeover. He hit an arm drag suplex. Lethal flurried and landed the head scissors takeover. He hit his arm drag suplex combo. Nash hopped on an apron, and Shelley was going to whip Lethal into Nash's elbow, but Lethal reversed it, and Shelley went into Nash's elbow, and thus let Lethal score the victory. After that match, after the victory was done, Shelley attacks Lethal and tries to break his arm, but Sabin runs in for the save. This is the part where it gets scary, because Chris Sabin hops on the mic, and he told Kevin Nash to, I quote, "Man up, dog." He said, "What's wrong? His back isn't turned." He then challenged him to a match at Slammiversary, and he said, "It's to what I have a saying for you, what your wife has been saying to you all these years, that size doesn't matter." Took a shot. Finally, we have a standing feud between an ex-divisioner and Kevin Nash. Somebody finally make a stand and let him do the damage.
So at Slammiversary, we can see that it's going to be Chris Sabin and Kevin Nash. Meaning, Chris Sabin is going to come out victorious one more time.
I don't know. Kevin Nash might score that victory.
And another thing, let's comment on the match that happened. It's, you can't just blow it. Jay Lethal and Alex Shelley. Not as good as the one they had, I believe, at Against All Odds, which was, I thought, was a great match. It was more technical and had much, but a good match overall.
Well, for me, I think it's a good match because the match is prolonging the story. It was the match actually meant something more than, let's say, the matches that they had at other times when they were just fighting and they put on a good show. This match has something behind it. You had the Kevin Nash factor, you had the Chris Sabin factor, and then Jay Lethal got the win. So, I mean, well,
no, so that's why it's a good match. Jay Lethal got the win.
I'm just saying because now you're gonna have, you know, I can see Kevin Nash costing Shelley some matches over the weekend, and that could be the reason why Shelley turns on Nash because, you know, dissension.
Or he could just turn on because he's like, I can't beat the X Division, so I beat up on Alex Shelley.
Exactly.
Out of frustration. Which can lead to that, but you know.
So after this, we get a video package from Samoa Joe talking about why he left out on, walked out on Sting and let Sting get beat down.
How many weeks ago was
pay-per-view.
That, like 4 or 5?
I had no idea. I didn't know that Sting got beat down after the pay-per-view.
Yeah, they just showed the video.
I knew Joe walked out, but I don't pay attention to like videos that TNA does. So Jamoa said he went into battle with Sting because it was a main event match.
Logical reason.
Sting said he wanted someone to have his back from bell to bell. Joe said once that second bell rang, he was done.
Yes.
He said where was Sting at when he was coming up in the ranks and then his punk ass comes and take his spotlight. Mm-hmm. What I like right here, you give Samoa Joe that asshole character. Because I was concerned about that because we never had no explanation why Samoa Joe teamed up with Sting.
Yeah, I thought he was going on goody two shoes with it. He's gonna turn to Carlito.
But now it's like, will he feud with Sting? Or
nah, I think it's still because he referenced Steiner in there.
Oh yeah,
I think it's gonna be him versus Steiner at Slammiversary.
I didn't even finish Joe's comment. I had more. I didn't know. I forgot. I misread it.
Okay, continue.
Joe says Steiner has been feared everywhere he has gone because of his matches. He says he is not scared, and if Scott wants some of him, he will do something, and he says Steiner knows he can't take Joe, and he wants him to step up. Joe says that he knows Steiner won't do anything because he spent all of that time building up his rep, then he would just lose it all to Joe. So anyway, he just calls Steiner a bitch in so many ways.
He called him a steroid-free bitch that everybody
Marcus,
hates.
He mentioned
that
can't
wrestle
he mentioned
with bleached blonde hair.
Who just gonna do flips in the damn ring.
Who does belly-to-belly set. I don't care to see. Well, anyway, I don't know how that match can turn out because Steiner has, what, 2 moves? And Joe has an arsenal of moves? And normally, I don't know how it's going to play out. I don't know how they're going to do the match.
Or are they going to destroy Steiner already? I mean,
yeah,
Steiner is serviceable still right now.
He's not pulled. He's what Mark Henry was pulled in for, and Mark Henry's outshining him.
Mark Henry's character is working better because of being dipped in water.
Yes.
So after this segment, Team 3D is backstage with Jeremy Barash. He wants to know what do they feel about the parody that the James Gang did on them. Team 3D said it was hysterical last week, and when they did it 8 years ago, it was a hysterical then. So they took the rub that I mentioned last week that, you know, they did this before. He said when Kip acted like Devon can't say anything else but testify. And, you know, Devon took offense. And he said he liked it when BG took acting like he couldn't butt up the shirt because he was fat. Then Bubba was like, well, because I have a thyroid problem, something like that. Bubba said they crossed the line when they made fun of the bingo hall, referencing ECW, but as the bingo hall. He said they were jealous of the history of that place, and he compared that to calling his mother out of her name. Bubba said there are people who choose to exploit the bingo hall and bastardize the arena. He said next week they will show what the bingo hall really means. I know I left some out when Devon went on a rant, don't talk about my mama, but it made no sense.
The whole argument.
It made no sense right there.
It was entertaining enough.
What? Oh, go ahead. You can go first.
What I like to say is, let me comment on this, as I always
say. Let me speak on this.
Let me spew some venom into the fire. All right, anyway. They really need to stop referencing ECW. I mean, it just seems like don't give them more publicity than what they already have.
Well, I don't know if they were really referencing. Sound like they tried to take a shot at him and reference him at the same time.
But these fat guys, though.
I really don't think it's no. Especially when ECW is going to be your main competition.
Yeah, the main one-hour competition.
You shouldn't bring them up. And then to say that WWE is bastardizing the arena and exploiting the bingo, I don't think so. I think this ECW, so far as to how they have portrayed it, to me, seem like it's the real deal. Like, they're really going 100%.
They're
going
to have the old technical match that they used to have and display. And they're going to have some of the extreme crazy stuff, as Paul Heyman said. Women still will be pile drive through tables for no apparent reason.
Yeah.
It's still going to be good. I think it's just going to probably be more controlled.
But let's say this. I mean, it is going to be more. I think the biggest difference is going to reach more people.
Yeah.
That's the biggest difference.
Because it's actually ECW on a network that isn't the Nashville channel.
And or watered down because of the Nashville.
Yeah, that's what
channel.
I pretty much mean.
Okay.
And I feel.
Go ahead, keep going.
I feel that if Paul Heyman is in control of it, I don't believe he could really do too much damage to it. I believe he has enough control that he wouldn't water it down the ECW.
I'll put it this way. As long as Stephanie McMahon has no creative control over his show where she can nix his ideas, he's okay.
Mm-hmm.
All right, so that's enough of our WWE rant on this part. So let's get back into their show. Daniels and Styles.
Oh, I want to say one more thing during saving. So do you think Brother Way and Brother Devon, if they had the opportunity to go to ECW now, would they go?
I think so. I think if you gave Rhino,
whose contract is up in July and is being considered.
If you gave Rhino, Raven, Dudleys, all these people an opportunity to go back to ECW, I think they would go.
Also, here's another side note. Apparently, Homicide is unhappy with TNA for the way he's being used.
Is he being used at all?
They showed him. Did they go? Did we do that already?
No.
The cut to the.
Oh no, that's after.
This segment.
That's after. Yeah, we talked about that.
Yeah. Anyway, Homicide's upset of how they're using him, right? Mm-hmm. And his contract is coming up. Probably, I think it's like June.
Everybody's contract seems to expire in July.
And it seems like they say he's really leaning toward going to the new. Paul Heyman wants him to be a part of new ECW brand.
Why not?
I mean, really never seen Homicide wrestle, but from what I hear on the wires, he's okay wrestling.
Like I said, only thing that you can really benefit from this is that ECW, as a wrestler, especially if you're like in TNA or you're an independent wrestler, going to ECW, even though it is a subdivision of WWE, but you do your time there, you get your exposure, you move on, you make a bigger paycheck for yourself, I think. Now, back to the thing, let's get back to it. It's time for Daniels and AJ, who are inside Larry Zbyszko's office. Unlike Jarrett, they know the way to get to Larry Zbyszko.
Yeah, because they don't have to go through Tanae to get to Zbyszko.
So anyway, they said if they want another shot at the tag team belts. They say if you got rid of Gail Kim's outside interference, they would be the tag team champions. He said if he gives them one more chance at the pay-per-view, they would never ask them again. Of course, he agrees. After that, Slick Johnson runs in and said, next week, the new guy will be there.
Christopher Daniels' brother. Twin brother.
Let's not go there.
They look exactly the same.
I just felt that this segment, for me, really didn't accomplish anything. Cause
it's setting it up.
I don't care about AJ and Christopher Daniels' pursuit of the tag team titles.
Because it's supposed to be the Dudley's pursuit.
I don't think they deserve the tag team titles. They are single wrestlers who should either A, B, be challenging for the X Division title, or B, going after the NWA title. There's no excuse why these guys cannot even be even in these qualification match for the King of the Mountain tournament.
Yeah,
I mean, I just think these are two of your biggest stars, yet, I mean, think about it. Samoa Joe hasn't even been mentioned who his opponent is going to be.
That's if he even has one.
Exactly.
Well, it's probably next week they're probably going to like, it's Sterling, Samoa Joe, who da, da, da. Anyway, I feel this is all setting up my favorite thing in wrestling, Gil Kim above the ring in a cage.
No, stipulation. No, they said they have a way to take care of her.
That's the stipulation.
Know the way they're going to take care of her? Think about it. Who recently left Jarrett Camp to never be seen? Jackie Gator. So pretty
she's
much.
She's pregnant.
She can still go out and rough up Gail Kim.
She's pregnant. They ain't going to do that.
She's not that far alone. All she got to do is hire up and tie her up in the back or act like she was attacked backstage. I mean, it's ways that they could do it. I'm pretty sure Jackie going to have something to do with this.
In a cage above the ring.
Mars, I'm sorry, that's not going to happen.
So
anyway, Jeremy Borash went and tried to get a word with LAX, but Conan said that if you're not Latino, do not cross the border. Because they are on strike because they are offended by the new immigration laws that have been passed.
But yet they're actually calling Impact this week because they had the headsets on.
I just think this segment, it's flawed.
This is the most useless thing ever.
Because I think what makes a segment flawed more is because you got to realize they are taping this, so they don't know how to feel the immigration thing is going. So, you know, if they were a more current show, they can maybe push the issue more or retract it a little bit more because you can know what the feel of the states are right now. I don't even know what the immigration feel is right now. It could be even old news for all I know because I haven't heard much about it lately. So it's
but I just feel this is a waste of a time segment. I mean, it just seems like Conan should just stay on commentary. Let Hernandez or Homicide wrestle other people. Maybe make them a tag team or something. And do something with that along that line. Maybe they could be in AJ spot feuding with AMW or feuding with AJ and Daniels. And have the Dudleys go after the title and James Gay in the mix or something. Something like that.
So after this, though, this segment, we got a Samoa Joe video package. And then it announced this was going to be one of my news stories. Because June 6th is apparently a big day for wrestling DVDs. Samoa Joe will be getting the Best of Samoa Joe DVD on June 6th.
2 years worth, though, man.
But my question is it going to be edited matches like the Heaven Sent Hellbound DVD?
Or will it be straight through like AJ Styles?
But also, speaking of DVDs, we reported this a long time ago, but Dusty Rhodes' DVD is actually coming out on June 6th.
So, highly competition for Samoa Joe. But I don't like the way they put the Best of just so early. It's just like he's been wrestling 2 years.
They're trying to get off his gimmick.
How many squash matches are they going to have on there?
But you know, they might have some of his matches from his independent bookings. I'm not really sure what they're going to do with this, but hey, what can you say?
So, what can you say?
Okay, so we're moving on to the story. We finally get a picture, a glimpse of Christian, the champion. He talked about King of the Mountain and how Jarrett is trying to stack the table against him, but he questions Jarrett by saying, how can you do that when it's every man for themselves? He said he respects Sting, but it is the Christian Cage era. He said he would die to remain the champion. What I don't understand
is, why does he always got to die to remain champion?
But what does he mean by Jarrett is stacking the table? Jarrett ain't doing anything. It was Zary Zbyszko that did the King of the Mountain, so what has Jarrett done? Except for call himself the King of the Mountain in the past.
Yeah, Jarrett hasn't really stacked anything. I mean, he brought in Steiner.
So
Monty Brown isn't working with Jarrett currently.
To me, this comment made no sense.
No, I didn't.
So now we get time for the King of the Mountain qualification match.
Maybe because Jarrett's the owner.
We don't know who the participants are, but we soon find out that it's going to be Jeff Jarrett and his opponent, not Scott Steiner, but Raven. I was disappointed because I was hoping that they would throw that little twist where it'd be Scott Steiner versus Jeff Jarrett.
But then it had to be Raven and Sting next week. Steiner and Sting next week.
So?
They didn't want to do that.
So anyway, the match goes by Jarrett goes to attack Raven with a chair, but Raven catches him with a trash can lid. Jarrett throws a chair at Raven when he is through the ropes. Raven catches him with that and dispose of him with a clothesline. Raven throws Jarrett into the crowd and he punches him through the crowd. Raven laid Jarrett across the table. Then he missed an elbow off the top of the ramp. They went to commercial. I was pissed because I was like, how the hell did this match become hardcore rules? And all of a sudden today mentioned that, oh, that's great by referee Charles, giving him some leeway with this match because of the importance. So pretty much he was saying that the ref went through with the decision to make this a
no DQ.
I guess a hardcore match.
They still bastardize their rules.
Yeah, they have no things.
They ain't with the cover, though.
So back from the break, Jarrett has control of the match and has attacked Raven with a chair. Jarrett attacked Raven with a concession, with concessions, a bottle of relish, and a chair. Jarrett,
dangerous, isn't he?
Yeah, Jarrett misses and falls into a wall trying to drive a knee. Raven suplexed Jarrett on the table. Raven then hip-tossed Jarrett on the ramp, and Jarrett rolled down the ramp. Raven gets clothesline and a knee lift on Jarrett. Then Raven teases with the Raven effect on a chair, but Jarrett tries to stroke, but Raven escapes, and they run into the referee. Gail Kim slides the guitar in, but Raven applies the sleeper hold, and this makes Jarrett drop the guitar. Jarrett escapes the sleeper hold, but Raven landed a drop toe hold onto the chair. Raven grabbed the guitar and was going to hit Jarrett with the guitar, but Larry Zbysko gets into the ring takes it. Raven almost scores a roll-up pin, but he doesn't. Raven goes to hit Jarrett with the guitar, but he hits Larry Zbysko. Jarrett lands the stroke and scores a victory. He is now in the King of the Mountain tournament. After this, they air another video recapping the happenings throughout the entire show and some things that has occurred in the past week, like the Bobby Roode Rhino, other people qualified, stuff like that.
This is like the first Impact I have ever seen with no Damore or Team Canada whatsoever on the show. It's like a first ever. What do you think? No Team Canada? Were you blown away or captivated by this? Were you going, like, wait a minute, where's the red and white?
I actually didn't care. Because of a few things, Marcus, I want everybody to take it, pull out a notepad. I enjoyed TNA this week. It made perfectly good sense to me. I enjoyed watching it. I have no complaints.
Shocking.
I have not one complaint.
You can't dig up nothing?
I
can't even criticize the Bisco shirts.
Only thing I have to complain about is maybe Christian saying that this was a plan by Jarrett. But besides that,
besides Christian being on the show, you have no complaint.
I have no complaint. It was actually a very interesting and entertaining night of Impact because everything made sense.
And shockingly enough, I agree. The thing of with Impact this week, this is the way Impact should always be. Well, not always. You know, you can't. The same show. But I'm just saying they should always try to focus more on wrestling matches than on their backstage goofy storylines.
Or, in my opinion, I think what made it work is that the matches actually told the story, like you said. Instead of having a match happen, and instead of the announcers calling the match, they're talking about Sting and Raven and Jarrett and all that good stuff. Tonight, Tanae and West kind of called the matches. They let the stories take place.
Oh, by the way, Don West left and then came back.
I know
he had to go cry in the bathroom.
I know he had to compose himself.
He had to cry
and change his pants.
I'm so weak.
He changed his pants, he said. I just thought, once again, overall, a very good night for Impact. Now, what was shocking, I had a good night with Raw. I enjoyed Raw. I enjoyed Impact. Now, could SmackDown give me that trifecta?
Could it happen? We'll find out in the next segment.
But do you have anything to say about TNA, or have you said it?
I've said what needed to be said, I believe, that I enjoyed Impact, and that I don't need AJ and them teaming up together. Gail Kim should be in the cage. The LAX thing need to go. That's the one point that I point out.
I would pull that out. But you know what? But it was short. It was brief. They weren't in the middle of a match taking shots of them on strike. Yes. They was just there.
So
that does it for the TNA Impact Report. We both gives it 2 thumbs up. You know,
a broken thumb.
Whatever we want to, we should give a rating. So we should come up with a rating system.
What do we do? 2 sniper rifles or something with sharpshooters? What do we
2 shots.
2 taps?
It don't matter.
We tap it out.
No, no. Okay, so we're gonna take our break. We'll be back with the SmackDown report.
Hoorah!
Now you wonder why we saying hoorah, when we found out Tony Chimmel announced that the new host of SmackDown is no other than Mike the Miz Mazzanic.
And I would like to say another job well done by the Sharpshooter Searching Lost and Found Agency. We have not only found Chavo Guerrero,
Church.
We have not only found Dan Miz.
Okay!
But wait, who's the other person?
No.
Chavo. Miz.
Oh, Monty Brown.
We have found Monty Brown, Sergey.
Pounce.
We are continuing on the streak, and don't know who else is left to find.
So apparently,
we're gonna dig up Hardcore Holly.
Apparently, The Miz is now the host, and I guess it makes sense. He's like, I guess Jeremy Borash, he's the crowd hyper. He went over the card. Besides him saying hoorah too many times,
hoorah!
He got his point across.
Did he?
I think he did.
What was his point?
I don't know.
Why does he have Chrissy Hemme's job?
I have no idea.
But unlike Chrissy Hemme, he's allowed in the ring.
Yes. So anyway, Paul Heyman's walked down and joined the announce table, and Taz is extremely excited.
And let me point out something. Not only did they hug and shake hands and, you know, bond, I guess, show the mutual respect, Paul Heyman did the most respectable thing anybody has done on commentary since, I don't know how long. He shook Michael Cole's hand.
Yeah, he did not disrespect Michael Cole.
Like the first person ever that just said, please.
All right, and let me just talk about Heyman real quick. He even, throughout in the match, he threw an offer out to Taz to have a job, which I thought was kind of nice.
Yeah, he was implying. He's like, you know what I'm implying here.
So anyway, Paul Heyman was out there for the simple fact it is Kurt Angle's farewell match on SmackDown, and he is facing Rey Mysterio. So Kurt is then intro. He walks down to the ring. Heyman and Taz discuss the future of ECW and how ECW had the vision for wrestlers like Rey Mysterio back in 1996. The match started after Rey came out, of course. Kurt caught Rey with a double leg takedown. He tapped him on the head like playing with him. Heyman said that Angle gets the lid that lead the new vision in ECW. Heyman also added that Kurt Angle has made an open challenge to anyone who wanted to step into the ring against him from the 4-sided, 6-sided, or 8-sided ring. Then we go back to the match. Rey landed a head scissor takedown, but Kurt got him with an inside trip takedown. Kurt runs shoulder first into the ring post, and Rey falls, try to get him with the 10 punch until Kurt power bombs him down to the mat. Rey escapes the Angle Slam and runs the apron, but he misses the seated senton, and they stare each other down in the ring commercial. Gotta say, they start the match out with nice energy. Rey was looking good. Kurt was looking good. Good start to a match.
A great start to this, but the only problem with it, it shouldn't start the show.
Finish with the match.
It just seems like a lot.
No, hold on. Let me finish with going over the match. So we get back from commercial. Heyman announces that Rey Mysterio will face Sabu for the title at One Night Stand, and then we will see video highlights of Sabu later in the show. Angle has Rey in a reverse armbar. Rey escapes but gets caught with a knee lift. Kurt landed a German suplex on Rey and then slaps the leg head scissor take headlock on. Rey caught Kurt with a dropkick, where Kurt gets him with a belly-to-belly. Rey then DDTs Angle down to the mat, escaping a slam. Rey does a tilt-a-war head scissors. Rey drops to hold Kurt into the second turnbuckle and kicks him through the ropes. Rey baseball slide head scissors takes down Kurt outside of the ring. Rey gets the seated senton, but Kurt reverses his pin and lands a front flip suplex on Rey. Kurt catches him with a clothesline and pulls his strap down and lands the Angle Slam, but Rey gets the foot on the rope. Rey takes Kurt into 619 position, and Rey climbs the top rope, but Kurt catches him, and Rey attempts a sunset flip powerbomb, but Kurt blocks it and lands the ankle lock. Rey gets him with the 619, but Kurt catches his legs and applies the ankle lock again. But Rey escapes. Angle then belly-to-belly Rey over the top rope, and Rey was counted out, and Kurt wins the match. I have to say, best match of the week. This was pay-per-view caliber. The ending, yes, it could have been better, but why? You can't have neither of these guys lose. Excellent match, but like Marcus said, should have never started off the show.
I don't think it should have started the show. It could have went to the end of the first hour, maybe. That would have worked. But then what do you put in the first match?
No. Because the thing about this match is, because it was so good, it set the bar too high for SmackDown. Anything else following this match could never live up to what this match accomplished. Because it had new moves. It was like a new match between Rey Mysterio. Even though we've seen these guys fought before, Kurt was doing these new takedown holds, the inside trip takedown. Mm-hmm. When have we seen this takedown in WWE and stuff? And then Heyman adding, plugging ECW, telling that this is the new face and this is the new style, and why Kurt Angle left, because he can event himself again because he's adapted so much.
He's an innovator.
I was like, it was just great. Ray looked like a good champ. Except, like I said, the worst part about the entire match was the ending. But you have to let this go because you can't let the champion lose. And you can't let Kurt lose. So.
And it played like Ray injured his ankle.
Yes.
Because he fell down and it looked like, yeah, it was painful how he fell on his leg like that. And Ray is injured, by the way. It also plugged the Sabu and Ray match. He plugged that in there.
Yes.
And which is the dream match of ECW, apparently, Paul Heyman.
And also, oh, go ahead. Oh, you have more to add? Because I have something to add about this.
No.
Also, I thought it was a clever ploy because you guys know on Raw this week when Heyman said that he would, once Cena went, RVD wins, they were going to rechristen the belt as the ECW title. Mm-hmm. I felt that they messed up right there because, you know, you're guaranteeing victory to RVD. But what was a nice twist, when they said that Ray will face Sabu, they said it was for the title. And Paul Heyman said, whoever wins, because he knows one of them is going to win, whichever title they win, one of those titles will be rechristened the ECW championship.
And they win both, those two are going to have to fight it out to rechristen who's the undisputed champion of ECW.
So I thought that was pretty good. I thought that was a good segue to try somewhat cover up the kind of talk I thought they shouldn't did on Raw.
Want me to do a prediction that I think is going to happen to Ray? What? Since Ray's been going through all his injuries lately, why not lose to Sabu? And then have Red, wait, hold on, hear it out. And then have Rob Van Dam beat Cena. Then you have Rob Van Dam and Sabu, which is like arch nemesis forever. Both the champions fighting for who's going to be the undisputed champion for the first night of ECW, the show that comes on Sci-Fi. That'd be their first main event right there. And also, since Ray is hurt, you can play it off that he got hurt doing the match with Sabu, since Sabu is the homicidal, genocidal, most destructive character in wrestling.
But the point is, Marcus, you realize, though, no matter who loses, right, that belt still remains in WWE because it's rechristened the ECW title. Yeah. So if Cena loses, he's still the champion.
No, it just means it's vacant between him and Edge.
I mean, I'm not saying that I would like to see Sabu versus RVD there, but I just can't see WWE letting the bread and butter franchise both champions lose. But they could surprise us.
Well, they can easily throw this out. It was a different environment that they wasn't ready for.
But,
because the fans are on RVD, the home court advantage.
But Marcus.
The extreme, the weapons and everything else were legal.
But Marcus, I have to cut you off here. That only works on one superstar, John Cena, because he's never been to ECW Arena. Rey Mysterio has been there, so he knows what to expect.
Correction. He's never fought Sabu.
But the point
who
is.
Who can do some dangerous stuff.
You're saying that the arena being in a dangerous
environment. Okay.
But he knows what ECW does. So pretty much the only person that can use that excuse and why I feel he's the only one that will lose is him. I can see, though, RVD costing Sabu the match, which will set
what?
Up. I can see that.
No, he wouldn't do that.
But anyway, let's not get on.
I can see Sabu RVD, the first match of the return of ECW for the main event for the undisputed ECW champion. I think that'd be a great way to start off the new ECW brand.
All right, so getting back into SmackDown, after the hellacious match that we just witnessed between Angle and Mysterio, we get an interview that was taped by Bobby Lashley early in the night.
Oh, no!
He said that his whole life he dreamed of the opportunity like he had last week.
Isn't that a little deep?
He said JBL demanded respect from everyone, but he looks forward to earning it with every title defense. He said he is proud to be our new U.S. champion. Can't say it's the best promo. Can't say it's the worst promo. Point is, he's talking. The only gripe which you have about his promo is that he's soft-spoken.
Yeah, it just seemed weak.
The point is, he talks better than Shelton, and they're actually letting him talk. I feel that the only way that he can get better at promos if he delivers more and work with the vet. So, hey, he's the champion. He has to talk. Shelton has won the IC belt. We still ain't never heard him say nothing. He just comes out to the ring like Carlito, talking and mouthing off.
Yeah.
Shelton really needs to start talking. I think you have to make him talk on the mic.
But he doesn't have a current feud right now. They don't have him doing anything. Him, Carlito, Haas, and everybody else in the bottom card of Raw that wrestles on Heat and whatever, they don't do anything with them.
I expect big things, Marcus. I see the evolution in wrestling going. I can see everybody's trying to pick up the thing. So after we get this interview by Lashley, Nuzio is backstage and he's warming up for his match. He sees a production guy who comes in and tells him that his match is up next, and he asks him, has he seen Vito? He says if he runs into him, tell him to come out to the ring. Nuzio wonders if the rumors were getting to Vito about him being dressed in women's clothing. After this, we go into the match. It's version one, Matt Hardy versus Nuzio.
He can slay a tornado.
Which is impressive is that everybody loves Matt Hardy. Who hates Matt Hardy, Marcus?
He can slay a tornado.
Marcus, he gets beat every week, but everybody still cheers this man.
It's pity that he got fired.
I don't know, Marcus. So anyway, how this match go, Hardy landed a scoop slam elbow dropped after Nuzio got a fireman carry. Hardy yanked Nuzio out of the corner with a powerbomb. Nuzio applied a key lock on Hardy, pointed out by Taz, and then slams his arm down to the mat. Nuzio got shoulder thrust into the corner and then got a dropkick to the face of Hardy. Hardy flurried and landed a clothesline and a big back body drop, followed by a clothesline into the corner. He landed the running bulldog. Nuzio drove Hardy into the corner, but Hardy got an elbow up and then off the top rope landed another elbow. He signaled for the twist of fate and landed it for the victory. After this match, Vito came down to the ring, dressed in a dress. Nuzio, he was helping Nuzio up. The ref and Hardy looked like, what the hell is going on? When Nuzio turned around, his response was priceless. He's like, what the hell? And he just ran away from Vito. Have no idea where they're going with Vito in the dress, but I can see Vito going to the unemployment line soon.
I can see him even going to the unemployment line, ECW or Raw.
Now, the only problem that I had with this match, I felt it was a very good match. It's just that the match followed Kurt Angle, Rey Mysterio.
You can't have this match follow.
Now, this right here would have been a great opening match that led to Kurt Angle.
You can't have this open the show. You gotta have more excitement in the middle of the show. I mean, the beginning of the show, you gotta have something.
Okay, this could have been after their match, the end of the first hour, signified the start of the new second hour. I just think that you just can't have this match directly follow the whatchamacallit. I actually think that they could have started off with the next segment. If I can move on to the next segment, or do you have something to say, Marcus?
No, other than this match shouldn't happen like that.
It shouldn't happen the fall.
And I don't care for the Vito dressed in drag.
I don't care.
We got Goldust.
You know what they should have did? Like I suggested. Well, I think they should have had the Piper Pit first. That was this segment. Followed by that match, then led to the main event with Angle and Rey Mysterio for the first hour.
Mm-hmm.
And that would have made more sense. So anyway, The Miz brought us back to SmackDown.
Hoo-huh!
Hoorah. He introduced the Piper's Pit. Piper came down and said that anytime they have a situation in WWE, anytime they have some place that no one will go but a sewer rat, they call Roddy.
He said he
didn't come here to make friends. He came here to learn something. He heard about this new guy. He's supposed to be the next wonder, the next big thing in WWE. But he won't believe it until he sees it. He then introduces the great Khali. Khali came out with Daivari. Piper asked how much English did he speak. Daivari said none. Piper said this was cool and asked Khali how was he doing. Then he checked his neck for bolts. He said Khali had big arms, and then he looked at Khali's butt and said, there's a Brokeback Mountain moment for you. Piper wanted to know, what did he eat? Daivari said people like him. He asked where was he from. Then, you know, of course he said the Punjab jungle in India. Piper then called The Undertaker the toughest man to ever come to WWE, and Khali's a lucky man. Daivari said that was true until Judgment Day, and we all saw him destroy The Undertaker. Then Piper said he wanted to say something to Khali eye to eye. He climbed the bottom rope and called Khali something and said if he was 20 years ago, but before he could finish, Khali grabbed him by the throat. But Daivari informed Khali to stop in English. Damn, just saying. Daivari said he could have Khali snap his neck like that, and he called Khali the most dominant force in WWE. Piper said he was, but Daivari wasn't, and he slapped him. After that, Khali was pissed, gave Piper a head bump, and the chop stood over him, and that's how that segment ended. What I thought was funny about this segment is when Daivari spoke to Khali in English, and you hear the fan in the audience yell, thought he couldn't understand English.
Yeah, it made no sense because, first, we've heard Khali actually speak English when he made some speech. It was somewhat English. He's like, I'm no Daivari. I am going to kill you. And blah, 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 blah. Anyway, we heard all that, and he spoke English then. Then Daivari's like, please, no, stop, please. And then he stops. It's like, What the hell, man?
And then Teddy Long, remember when he made the match at Judgment Day against Undertaker? Didn't Teddy Long tell Khali about this match?
He had to sign it. No, all of a sudden, he can't speak English, but he can understand English.
I just don't get it.
I just think he can't speak.
So anyway, moving on with the night. I guess, see, the segment was a good segment because it just did what it needed to
do. It did what it needed to do. It destroyed Piper Rescue.
And you could have started the show off with this.
Well, hopefully they're not setting up a Piper Khali match.
No, next week, and they already exposed it on WWE.com, Piper will be interviewing The Undertaker in the Piper Spit.
All right.
But I think it's going to be on location, though. I'm not sure.
I don't know how it's going to work out. I don't know how it's going to play. But then again, we see again, Khali is not the bad person in this situation. Oh, he is a misunderstood human being who's being disrespected by Roddy Piper, not asking him serious questions because Khali is a serious man and Khali is about business. Then he's going to step up to Khali and talk about, if I would knock you out, I was younger, knowing Khali can speak English. Kind of like the Yao Ming effect, in which he can speak English and understand it, but he don't do it well, so he doesn't
say he can't. And once again, going back to the English thing, how come when Piper called him a name, he knew that, and then he decided, it doesn't matter.
Piper jumped up in his face, and which provoked the Khali. And then he attacked his boy Daivari, so Khali had to talk. So Khali is the good guy in the situation, once again.
Okay, now what I think is crazy, Marcus, one of Marcus' favorite wrestlers, has made a return. Ashley Massaro is introduced as the newest diva on SmackDown, and she walks out of the ring to join the team for commentary.
The road of the diva contestant now, with it.
My whole thing about this, she did commentary with Cole and Taz. I thought she actually did a good job because all Cole and Taz were doing was flirting with her.
Yes, and she was doing her little
the little laugh and stuff.
And I'm not sure if she took Taz in.
I don't even know. But the thing is, the next match was Jillian versus Crystal.
Before we get into that, another thing I like to point out, she's on the road of the Christy Hemme. Think about it. Christy Hemme was on Raw, went to SmackDown. Ashley is now SmackDown. But 6 months later, she's in Impact.
But Marcus, I have a different thing about her theory. One thing about Ashley compared to Christy Hemme, Ashley is likable. I can like Ashley. I didn't like Christy Hemme. Don't like her now. She annoys me. Everything about her annoys me. Now it's time for this match. We have Jillian, and then we have Crystal, which I thought was also a good point that they brought up, that she was runner-up or in the same running as Ashley for the Divas.
History. I thought this was going to start of a feud between Crystal and Ashley. But apparently I was wrong, because this is like the first time somebody has ever did commentary and did absolutely nothing. Didn't interfere after the match, didn't attack nobody, didn't do anything of the outlandishness that you normally see when somebody does commentary.
She's a good guy, Mario. She's not.
They were all good guys out there. Well, not guys.
But you know what I mean.
They were good.
But
people.
Once again, I was cringing at this match, but it pleasantly surprised me.
I would like to say this is one of the best Divas matches I've ever seen.
I was like, Jillian hit a side suplex followed by a handspring elbow drop. Jillian then tossed Crystal by her hair and then rubbed her face into her breast. Crystal was freaked out, tried to move, but then got into electric tread position. Crystal tried a victory roll, but Jillian held on and scored the victory. Surprisingly, I left a lot out this match, but this is just one of those matches that you have to watch and say, this match was actually entertaining.
This was actually a Divas match. It looked like an actual male wrestling match. It had organization. It wasn't too sloppy, although there were like little sloppy moments here and there, but it was passable. And it was like, what? They doing arm bars. They started out like, oh, here we go. They started arm bars. Then there was flips, and then there was like leg drops and clotheslines.
Anything that you could think of was there.
It was a basic wrestling match, and I applaud them for having a pretty good match.
And
Probably not as good as Trish and Mickey's match, but it was pretty good.
And I think it goes back to that whole thing about that I said. Remember I said when they first had their match that they actually had a decent match?
Mm-hmm.
I think that it showed that Jillian is actually the real thing. She can really wrestle.
Is she the Kurt Angle of the women's division?
I don't know.
Because she's making Crystal look great, who has no real wrestling experience.
But Crystal held her
own. Wrestling.
She held her own. But also another twist to it, I think it sucks that the women's belt is not interpromotional.
Of course.
But Michelle McCool came out. She made her reappearance, coming out to Candace O music. And said...
Stacey Keebler's old attire.
And she announced that Ashley wasn't the only new diva. She said, being a former school teacher using Matt Stryker's current gimmick, she is going to show these girls what it's like to be a real lady. And she said, if the boys are good, she would teach them about the birds and the bees. Mm. She said, things are going to get a lot hotter here. Once again, another woman debuting.
Horrible on the mic.
I would have to say annoying, but still not as annoying as that drunk heifer, Christy. Not Hemi, Crystal. But I'm still, actually, you know what? Even though she was drunk as hell at Judgment Day, that was so entertaining when she walked down there, asked the question, and then paused for so long. I don't know.
Yeah, but anyway, I don't understand her gimmick now as being the sexy teacher now, because wouldn't she be better fit to be aligned with Matt Stryker, who is the I take no nonsense teacher, I'm going to teach you a lesson and all that? So we have two teachers on two of these shows. You can't have two of the same character, but, you know, different genders on the same show.
You never know, Mark. This could lead to some mergers in wrestling. I don't know.
I don't know. The women's division is deep. If you put it together, it's deep.
It's deep.
It's deeper than the cruiserweight division.
So now
it's deeper than the continental division.
It's time. Know what time it is, Marcus? Somebody gonna get their neck. Somebody gonna get their ass kicked.
Break his neck.
It's time for Mark Henry versus Paul Burchill.
Mark Free Willie Henry, as we learned last week.
Mark Henry made his way down to the ring. They showed what happened last week with Benoit. Cole said due to Benoit's past injuries and injuries sustained from last week, he decided to take an indefinite sabbatical from SmackDown and WWE. This match was pretty quick. Henry attacked Burchill as he entered the ring with a chest splash. Have to say, one of the most impressive chest splashes I've ever seen.
Because it splashed.
Because he is so covered in wet water, it splashed up in it. It looked like Triple H was spitting water out of his mouth.
Well, first, we gotta say this. We don't know if it's water. It could be just that liquid.
I don't know what it was.
It's that special liquid.
But it made made it impressive. He landed a right hand and some knees to the face of Burchill. He then delivered a boot to the skull and did his World Strongest Slam twice to score the victory. After the match, Henry suplexed Burchill on a top rope and then followed that with a knee. He then rammed his spine first into the ring post three times. He then choked him out with the ropes like he did Benoit last week. Henry said, when he comes out here, somebody's going to get their ass kicked. Can I say, I am enjoying Mark Henry right now.
But why Burchill for like the second time in 3 weeks?
Because Burchill's character has to be off TV. He has to be recreated.
No, well, he's injured.
Well,
he's going to be took down, and apparently they're dropping the pirate gimmick. It just didn't work.
But you know what? They could make it work now. I have a good idea what they could have did with this.
Evil!
It's two things they could have done with him. They could have made him evil, or, because of his recent losses and stuff, make him a drunk pirate. A drunk, pissy, drunk pirate. Yes.
And he hang around Finley because he's Irish.
Yes.
I just feel that it's good that he got his...
But you know, if his gimmick is joint, I think what he should do, and I was going to talk about this, I really think that Booker T, since he is the king, he needs to have knights. And since he already has an Englishman and an Irishman, let's add another Englishman to the mix.
What? Booker T can add his stables. But Burchill's out for a while. He's getting knee surgery and everything.
Oh, okay. And Marcus, I know you're happy. Next week, Mr. Kennedy!
Canada!
All right. It's
returning to SmackDown.
And then speaking of Mr. Kennedy returning, we have Philly up next, who looks like
Did you already skip over the Batista thing?
Oh, I missed that. Yes.
Well,
Batista will be returning in 35 days.
Yes. The countdown continues.
There's a countdown on WWE.com. I had that in my notes. I just don't know why.
He's currently healing from Booker T's injuries he's added to.
I don't know where that's at. I had it in my notes. It doesn't matter. So now we get Philly versus Katie Matthews.
But you know, I said that was a pretty impressive video. They showed Batista with the powerbomb of JBL.
Okay.
And then ended.
I was upset with the video that they did to him, because before they got to the JBL powerbomb on the steel steps, If you go back and look at the video, the only people he was powerbombing in that video was all Raw superstars, from Triple H, Edge, and everybody. I was like, you can't have...
He was only on SmackDown for what, 4 or 5 months?
I don't know.
Not much.
So anyway, we get Finley versus Caden Matthews. Finley landed a atomic drop followed by a clothesline. Finley tossed Matthews out of the ring and rams him into the apron. He kicked him, and then Matthews is yanked under the ring. Finley pulled him back out. Finley landed the Celtic Cross for the victory. Finley went outside the ring, grabbed the shillelagh, looked under the mat. The green light was shown.
There he was.
The midget came out.
Here he comes.
Matthews. Finley throws the midget back under the ring.
It's a leprechaun.
I don't care what it is, Marcus.
You don't call him the little midget.
What the hell? I don't think you need this.
You need it.
No, you don't.
I love him.
Why, Marcus?
First, during the match, Billy
Coates. Okay, that was great. Matthews,
and then all of a sudden, Kate Matthews just slips under the ring, and you're like, what the hell happened?
That was great. I like that.
He spit back out.
I liked that. But besides that.
He's a crazy little person.
He has issues.
He has lots of issues, and Billy needs this. Because Billy apparently doesn't, I guess they don't want him to talk much. And it gives him a more dimensional character. Three dimensional. So that he's really crazy that he has hired a deranged leprechaun to attack his enemies in the end.
And I did a little research on Caden Matthews. Apparently he was on either on Heat or Velocity. And WWE was impressed with him, so they called him for another match against Finley. And some people feel that they might actually offer him a developmental contract.
Well, he was all right.
Because they said he take really good bumps.
He does.
He was taking excellent bumps.
He gets a good asshole.
So after this, they showed a video highlighting Sabu. After the video, finally, Taz addressed Jerry Lawler.
Hold on, before we get into the Taz rant, let me rant over the Sabu trailer. Is this the only way people plug Sabu down? Let's just put a video package of Sabu, his accomplishments. And why does he get title shots? He does not wrestle. He has a video package.
Because this is
he
what
puts
people,
his resume down.
This is what people want to see, Marcus. He's homicidal, genocidal. He's the Grey Sabu.
Yes, and he's dangerous.
All right, so finally, like I
said. Wait. I'm going to come in. Who was the better video package? TNA's or WWE's ECW one mixed in?
The ECW one.
Because it had more.
Because it has more. It lets you know who Sabu is. Really, more. Mm-hmm. But it was both too short, I think.
Yeah.
But
they both seemed forced.
So Taz finally addressed Lawler. He said he may talk about Taz not being tough anymore and being washed up and trying to imitate Lawler. But at One Night Stand, Taz wants to take Lawler on one-on-one. If Lawler showed up, he'll get choked out. He added, beat me if you can, old man. Survive if I let you. First of all, great promo by Taz. He still has it.
And I like to say, the mood is about to shake.
And Eric called it. Didn't I call that? I did call it. I did.
They were feuding back and forth.
No, I called it.
So what is going to happen on Raw? Is Taz actually might show up on Raw and that's how they're prolonging this storyline? Because One Night Stand's coming up soon. I think it's 1 week
next
from
week.
Sunday.
Next week.
It's coming up and Taz, and I think they should have a little meeting. Or it's the ECW versus WWE this week.
It's this week,
so that's probably when they have meet up. And
right before your epic graduation, buddy.
Right before.
Anyway, that's not no reason to talk about that.
No, because that's not important at all. All
right. So we're moving on to the main event. And I can understand why they have Booker T close out the show, symbolizing that the King is actually a very important fixture into the show.
But I can't help but wondering, why does he have like 9 introductions? We know who this man is.
That was quite annoying.
Well, it's more than 9 if you count the times Regal said all hell.
First, The Miz introduces Booker T, and Regal walks out. Who introduces Booker T and continues to yell.
No, Regal introduced Charmel, or does he introduce
Booker
T?
No, he introduced Booker T, and he continues to yell all hail King Booker. Mm-hmm. Booker came out to the King in his king garment, followed by Shamar.
He was humbled.
Charmel. Booker sat on his throne, and then that's when the fireworks went off. Booker got on the mic and presented his queen, Charmel. And I thought it was funny. Michael Cole had a line. Is he going to do this every week when he presents him?
I know. That's the perfect line. He better not do this every week.
And then Regal started to yell, all hell.
He was humbled, Eric.
Regal yelled, all hell Booker again.
Doing the commercial
break.
Doing
the whole commercial break.
All hell King Booker.
Back from the break, Regal still yelling. But Bobby Lashley finally came out.
About time.
After they squared off in the ring, Booker landed a knee and some right hands and some chops. But Lashley came back with forearms and a scoop slam. Booker attempted a superplex, but Lashley blocked it and hit a snap suplex. They fought some more, but Lashley got the upper hand with a back elbow, clothesline, and a running forearm. The match ended when Booker hit his super kick and then attempted the bookend. But Lashley countered with an elbow and 2 belly-to-belly throws, them damn flips that I talk about so much. He attempted the spear, but Book caught him with a knee. Booker tried his kick, but Lashley caught it and hit a running power slam for the victory. After the match, Regal attacked Lashley. He was then joined by Finley, who attacked Lashley also. Booker landed the bookend and ordered Regal and Finley to get his throne. They attacked Lashley some more, and Booker landed his scissor kick. He ordered Regal and Finley to make Lashley bow down and kiss his feet.
Yes, show them. Anyway, hoorah. And I thought the Miz was going to close the show and be like, that's all we have tonight.
And you know, I was
hoorahing.
Hope he enjoys SmackDown tonight.
He kissed his feet, hoorah, and carry it on. And now, is this a new stable, and are they called the King's Court? And where was the Leprechaun fit into this? Because I could have swore Regal was going to go into the ring and be like, yeah, take that, Bobby.
The Leprechaun only comes out when Finley's inside the ring.
Now, is this over the U.S. title right here?
I don't know what it was about. All I know, it was entertaining TV.
It's entertaining TV, and a way to nice way to end the show if you want
to. All I have to say is this has been one of the best weekend wrestling ever. SmackDown lived up to the hype that I needed to have. Even if everything after the Kurt Angle and Rey Mysterio match sucked, that match made it the show. I don't think it was a letdown. I think it's just bad ordering. If you put half of the stuff that they put that came after that match in front of that match, then it'll be a much better show.
First thing, hold on, I'm going to comment on the Booker T. Like I always say, let me comment on this.
Let me speak on this.
How many finishing moves does Bobby Lashley have? And was that the cleanest finish I've ever seen in my life? Booker T was beating the center of the ring.
The running power slam, you do not know the power of that.
Look, he has the running power slam, shades of Davey Boy Smith. He has the spear, shades of Goldberg and Rhino and Itch and everybody else. He has the Dominator, which is Farouk, but how many different moves is this guy going to have?
All his
he needs a submission finish
of all his, he put a submission hold on Booker T, remember?
No, but he needs a submission finish to make somebody tap.
I think of all the finishing moves that he has done, the one I do like the most is the running power slam. I think it fits his character more than Dominator.
I like the Dominator.
So anyway, that does it for SmackDown.
That was SmackDown.
And three good shows.
And now it's time for us to go on that part of the show in which we decide which was the best show of the week.
That's hard.
What are you going with? Come on. Don't maybe start saying all hell King Booker until you think of it.
You know what?
All
hell King Booker. I'm giving it to SmackDown because of the Kurt Angle Rey Mysterio match.
That's what you do?
That's what I do.
Well, because of the Kurt Angle and Rey Mysterio match, that's why I'm going to Impact this week.
Oh.
Because after that match, SmackDown kind of was on a tightrope. It was like or dislike. Khali and them was entertaining, but should, like you said, been a different time. The whole, the scheduling of the SmackDown lineup this week was a little shaky, and that's why Impact's lineup worked better for me, and that's why it wins.
Well, see, the reason why I give the SmackDown, because I know Impact just going to F up next week anyway. So it doesn't matter.
You can't predict anyway, to TNA.
We're going to take our break.
It's total nonstop action.
We'll be back.
Hoorah!
With listener feedback. When the horns bellow in the hall, that only means that there's time for one thing, and that is hoorah.
A.K.A. listener feedback, or A.K.A. the best segment on the Sharpshooters Wrestling Podcast, period, or pounce.
All right, the first email we received is from a new listener, or a new emailer. It's from Tony. He says, what's happening, guys? First time emailer, long time listener since about episode 30. I actually just moved here to San Bernardino area for the summer, and are there any indie shows around that you guys can recommend? Unfortunately, we have never been to an indie show, so I don't know.
We do not know. This is California.
It's the land of beach and sushi.
It's the land of fake breaths and Laker talk.
I may be in the minority here, but I think Marcus is hilarious. When he goes off on his little tangents, Eric, just let him have his say-so. The two of you compliment each other well. Very well, and would make for a great replacement on current Monday Night announced team. Oh, wow. The thing about Marcus, I enjoy his rant sometimes too, but I think what makes his rant even more enjoyable is when I try to contain the rant and it does not get contained. Hmm. And occasionally, yearly, I have a few rants. So far, my rants have been limited to Scott Steiner and Flips and Christian Damn Cage.
He doesn't have a cage. That's his last name.
Anyway,
my rants are serious. I don't know.
Oh, God.
I'm just like, there's no serious.
On to WWE. Rant. The ECW angle could be the jolt of energy WWE has needed for some time. People foolish seem to think that ECW was only about blood and violence. That was one of them. This is far from the truth, as I have wonderful memories of Guerrero Malenko Classic.
Oh, let me comment on that right quick. Just quick.
Okay.
I just seen a Malenko Guerrero match because I finally watched the Eddie Guerrero and Chris Benoit DVD over the weekend. Had nothing else to do. But anyway, Malenko and Guerrero had a hell of a best two out of three farewell match on ECW. Hell of a match.
The great battles between Mike Awesome and Masato Tanaka.
Great.
Taz using his wrestling abilities to proceed up the ladder. So, yes, Kurt Angle joined ECW as another aspect of greatness that will hopefully be the competition that TNA needs to get itself out of the current funk that they're in. Now, I'm going to stop from your email real quick, Tony. I would agree with you. I don't think ECW is just putting that jolt into WWE. I think it's putting it to TNA.
It's making that turn, isn't it?
I think TNA is going to have to go to at least... They can't take three shows back-to-back like they did. They're going to have to at least maybe do one show or two shows, but... They're going to have to try to stay current. They're going to have to compete.
Yes, they have to be very fresh at it. They can't have a Dudley bashing ECW for like 3 weeks ago when ECW is soaring over them in a week.
So back to Tony email. Oh, you have more?
Other than, I feel this is the best. ECW could be maybe the best thing to have in wrestling. It's that alternative you need.
And he says, as for having competition, as having that competition will hopefully make them shake things up a bit. Sting was cool about 15 years ago. I don't care to see him wrestling, which he was entertaining at, and certainly not giving promo, which he never was that good at. But he did bring a lot of energy. Steiner, once he became Big Papa Pump, all his former wrestling skills quickly evaporated. Don't need to see him. TNA is supposed to be about cutting edge. You feel talent, so they need to display it. Get a 2-hour time slot somehow. Become a live show. Force Vince to keep coming up with fresh ideas, not rehashing garbage. Yes, garbage, like DX that died, rest in peace, 8 years ago.
Ooh.
SmackDown, it is in a very dangerous state right now. In the past 10 months or so, they have lost Eddie, Batista, Undertaker's only part-time, and if you can even call it that, Kennedy, Orton, and now they are set to lose Benoit, Eminem, JBL, and Angle. Something needs to be done soon. That leaves us with King Booker, who should be pushed to the moon now. Maybe he will finally get his shot at the world title. You can almost envision the promos now. Lashley, don't see much in the kid yet, but I would give him a chance. Ray, you gotta be kidding. Never found him that exciting. Talent, no doubt, I just don't get the appeal. Why not give William Regal the ball, see what he can do? Seriously, what are they going to do with SmackDown? What I think they're going to do with SmackDown, I think they, you know what? Yes, they have lost a lot. But you have people coming back. You have your Randy Orton coming back. Even though he might be a cunt backstage, he is still a talent in the ring and a promo. You have Batista making his return at the week of the 4th of July. You have Mr. Kennedy coming back next week. And JBL is not gone. Don't worry, people. He will be back eventually. Somehow, some way.
He's going to be on Raw, though. No. I can see him on Raw. The new GM.
I've read spoilers, Marcus. I know.
No,
what I know
you need to start reading your spoilers.
I know what plans they're trying to have him do, because he's injured. I just think right now they're trying to give the young talent. You know, you have your Booker T, who is carrying the show. You have your Mark Henry, who you hate him or love him. Him beating people asses is getting somewhere entertaining, especially when I can get a splash of water.
Well, I would like him to beat somebody up that isn't Paul Burchill anymore. Two weeks. Or not Matt Hardy. Somebody new. Somebody he hasn't beat up before. Put him in a serious feud with, like, let's say, who am I missing on this roster? I can't think of anybody.
What I would like them to do with Benoit, instead of him having gone on a sabbatical, maybe start wrestling and then help Gunner Scott. Because now with Benoit leaving, Gunner Scott is just another cat.
He's the protege!
Yeah, but...
He had a good match with Simon
But it's
D.
more reason... Well, now Benoit being hurt, I can see him in a corner. He can't get involved. He is giving him the tutelage and the twos to get to the next level.
And by the way, Simon D did not come on his segue this week.
He hasn't came on the segue.
No, he came on the other week ago. But so, anyway, it's time for them to give him a push.
Let's get back.
Time for them to make SmackDown.
Get back into the email. He says, so, a recommendation for you guys. If you can get your hands on some Ring of Honor DVDs, you can pick up the older shows for about $10 a pop. And they actually showcase wrestling. They also have believable, fresh storylines as well. Don't judge some of the guys like Austin Aries and Roderick Strong for their TNA work, and it doesn't do them justice. Just a thought. Instead of wasting money on WWE brand pay-per-views, but be warned, the product is very addicting. You know, maybe one day I will buy a Ring of Honor.
Speaking of that, Austin Aries. I already liked it, Austin Aries and Roderick Strong.
I like all those cats. I love the Messiah Backbreaker, and I was upset that TNA does not give him the push that he deserved.
Yeah, he was a good wrestler.
Even when Aries and Strong were a good tag team together, because whatever they did with TNA, they got suspended and they just disappeared. But the Backbreakers, man, he did Backbreakers out of no place.
Yeah, and I really enjoy Roddy Strong's Backbreakers. The master, the be the messiah of Backbreakers is like, where is this? Where's that character been?
And also, Tony, thanks for letting me know that the member of the A-Team was John Hannibal Smith.
Hannibal Smith.
And, oh, and thank you for, oh, yeah, thanks for the congratulations on my engagement. He said, Larry, for the own rant, I'm not trying to steal your spot, Marcus. No one can steal Marcus' spot. When you, like I said, when you send an email and it has substance, more power to you.
More power to you, because Eric is looking for replacements. I see them taking in resumes.
All right. So
behind my back. I can't believe it.
We move on to our next emails from Aaron. He says, hey, guys, I'm going to focus on something that I rarely do, TNA. I'm actually sat down and paid attention to the whole time while the sound was on. I rarely do all of this, but I have a good amount of opinions on the show. I liked the first match of the night with AMW and the Naturals. However, I started to notice flows instantly. One is the Gail Kim can't sell a move. I mean, if most people, especially a girl, gets pushed down by AJ Styles, I'm sure it hurts. I'm not like, oh, damn, how did I end up on the ground? Also, how did the Natural lose after a punch? Even the great Kylie and his chop set said weak. Maybe A&W had brass knucks on. Maybe the announcer should mention that. Like I mentioned in our report, I think that was a foulest of Tanae and Wes, not to mention
they
that
always ignore the match, though.
He slipped the handcuffs off.
They're so busy talking about Sting and Jarrett and stuff. Focus on the match. Focus on calling up and see what happens, because TNA has so many interferences that you have to follow these interferences to the point. And maybe he just missed this one.
All right, Aaron emails continue. He says, I'm glad that they were going to get answers from Joe, but wait, I didn't know there were questions. Why did he walk out on Sting? Because he's a bass-ass mother. We all know that. And don't expect anything different, but I'm glad he answered because he was right. Everyone was talking about Joe until Sting came back and stole his thunder. Now people want to talk about Joe, but they only show Sting. But then he says Steiner's afraid of Joe will ruin his reputation. When the hell did Steiner have a rep? 1993? Well, the rep that he has is the rep that TNA is trying to manufacture that he's a badass. No, Marcus.
Oh.
No.
Oh.
So Alex Shelley sold his soul to Kevin Nash. But when was Shelley a good person? How can you be a heel and then later sell your soul? And is it just me, or does Shelley and Nash seem a little gay? Nash made a penis joke and Shelley got excited. Maybe they spiked is just twice as big as Brokeback. Run, Jay Lethal, run. You just for once in your own life won a match, and Kevin Nash is at ringside. Maybe it's time to get the hell out of Dodge and not run right into the ring, big man that killed you last week. Run. Good point. Why didn't Jay? How come most people, when they steal that victory,
they get the
run out
of
the ring?
Because they know they're going to get the ass.
He stayed and celebrated.
Because that's what he does, and that's what he's about. Speaking of goofy celebration, this guy is very goofy.
I
see it on Impact.
Marcus,
he's just as worse
bad. He's him. Not as goofy as Aaron points out. Saban needs to stop saying man up, though.
Okay.
He
yeah.
does.
Okay, also. Oh, are you really reading the email?
No, I'm still going.
All right.
You know, actually, this is a factor that he brings up that I never thought about.
Right.
They should really have an evil announcer. Two complete face announcers is annoying, and they really need to stop selling the jokes. If they're that good, then the crowd will react to it. You don't need to. Why don't they have a bad guy, color guy? I never realized that's a big aspect that they're missing. These guys both cheer the good guys and boo the face.
Yes, because Don West is extremely on AJ's nuts.
You have to have somebody that actually gives the heels equal amount of time.
Give them some type of credit to their craft. They may cheat, but at least they win. They have results, and that's the way they win. Something like that. The way Taz do it.
Yeah, he says, also, why do they talk over everyone interest music except, of course, Jarrett?
It
makes it hard to tell who's coming out, and this is impossible to get pumped over their appearance. 3D forgot to mention, though, that while ranting about people disrespecting the bingo hall and ruining it, that maybe some people aren't good enough for the bingo hall anymore, like the Dudleys. And I think the two of them finally ate Spike. Daniels and Style have no excuses, but they got screwed. No excuses, but it's Gail Kim's fault. No excuses, but they should have won. Christian showed a small sign of old self. Maybe he would turn, but I doubt it. As for Christian, I think Christian does better at promos instead of commentary.
He does better as a bad guy from what I'm seeing. He is a terrible good guy.
Oh no. He says, oh no, don't hit him with the relish, plastic cup, and cardboard boxes. That really hurts. I mean, those are twice as hard as your, you know, chairs and ladders and stuff. Damn it, I hate the stroke. And now I have to go because Mabel called to tell me that Raven and Adelis are fat. Cheers to ECW and lasers and peace out. Thank you, Aaron. Great email. Now, entertaining.
I'm going to comment on one thing that was early in the email I forgot. Oh, he said, I can't stop saying it. The whole Samoa Joe and Sting match, remember that match? Mm-hmm. They had the tag match, Samoa Joe got the pin, he was supposed to be the best guy. He hasn't really been on TV much, has he? Sting talking and Samoa Joe in the backdrop, well, pretty much had one match and had this one interview in like 6 weeks since that incident.
It's that tape stuff, man.
I mean, he should have been on there somewhere in there. In between there, doing something, maybe doing commentary, maybe put him do commentary during the Sting match next week, during that match, Hope and Steiner next week.
All right, so we get our next email from Manny. He says, what's up, guys?
Golly!
Eric put in the A-team, man. I don't know how to top that. I don't even think my choice this week could beat that, but here we go. Sanford and Son, Fat Albert, and Knight Rider. He talks about Impact. He says, I couldn't think of a better way to start off Impact. Let's rough up Don West, who admitted to crapping his fans. I would open up the show every week like that. I thought that Lethal and Shelley match could have been a lot better considering the match they had a couple of months ago on pay-per-view. On Chris Sabin has challenged Kevin Nash, the winner of this match. Even Eugene could work this out. Samoa Joe interview is possibly the most sense spoken all night about Sting coming in and still in the spotlight. I'm tired of the team overrated 3D. They suck. Their promos are no longer funny. They truly were the flavor of the month a few months ago, and now just a mid-card comedy act. The main event was entertaining, and you kind of know the outcome of next week's main event as well. TNA are just way too obvious. Don't you guys think that not taking the outcome of last week's match, but don't you think that Diamonds in the Rough should be the number one contenders for the tag team titles, considering they beat AJ and Daniels? Yeah.
Yeah, that's a good point. I forgot about they did beat them. But in TNA, that wins and losses doesn't matter, apparently.
No, it
because
doesn't.
Diamond and Ruff did beat AJ and Daniels, and they don't even make the next week or even get in consideration for a tag. What I think they should do is have like this little, you know the Fatal 4-Way tag match when everybody has a corner? Because you have the James Gang feuding with the Dudleys, you have AMW and AJ, and then you can throw in Diamonds in the Rough because they beat AJ and Daniels.
Yes,
and you
can have a gauntlet that, match.
Not a gauntlet, but more of a Fatal 4-Way type.
It's called a 4-Way gauntlet, Marcus.
I don't know what it's called, okay? But you know what I mean. You tag them in.
All right.
Which teams are
so Manny goes on the SmackDown. He says, one hell of an open match, a pay-per-view caliber match to kick off SmackDown. Shame about the end as a count-out. But with the announcement of Ray versus Sabu, I'm guessing you wouldn't want Ray losing any credit going into that match. Also, I like how they threw out that anyone from the ring could come into ECW and challenge Kurt Angle. I read that Rhino is considering an ECW return as his contract with TNA is up in July. Finley and his leprechaun, so funny, especially when Finley kicks him back under the ring. And the leprechaun ever. Looks as if he's getting sent back to the depths of hell until summoned again by Finley.
Greatest leprechaun ever.
Also, Cole and Taz are biggest pairs of girls ever. Taz, Chyna, and Lawler, what is the deal with this? All hell King Booker. All hell King Booker. Mel Regal needs to stop that. Out of all Kings of Rings, nobody has played up to the King gimmick better than Booker T. And power from the throne is a touch of class. Right then, through in the bow down of Lashley to King Booker, they really should have played the King of Kings. Mm-hmm. Khali destroying the Piper, why you gotta do destroy Piper? What are you proving destroying the Piper? All he wanted to know was what his favorite food was. SmackDown wasn't too bad, in my opinion. It's the second time that the Diva Search winner has made her way on SmackDown, mm-hmm. and if Lashley's anything to go by, will actually be likely to be fired soon. Well, Michelle McCool returning to SmackDown is hot Miss Hancock attire. I'm predicting that SummerSlam, it would be inter-brand match between Michelle McCool and Matt Stryker for the rights to teach Eugene. And Vito, man, that was just disturbing. I think Nuzio should be sent to ECW to escape Vito. Without Vito, should move to Raw and join the Misfits for Goldust and Stisky. WWE Raw and SmackDown, even WWE versus ECW is going to be something special next week, and has finally stopped the build-up to One Night Stand. I hear rumors of ECW gate crashing Raw on Monday. Look like the sharpshooters find a missing persons game is working as a miss has been filed. However, he is currently working the role of Christie on TNA, which is rather sad.
Hoorah!
Which any would anybody like to find a fallen, missing, and forgotten wrestlers? All right, people, here we go. Tracy Brooks, Matt Bentley.
They were together, so if you find one, most likely you can't find the other.
Austin Aries, Roderick Strong, Lance Hoyt, The Boogeyman, Doug and Danny Basham, and Sylvain.
Well, I believe nobody is going to look for The Boogeyman in, where's he from, the bottomless pit, because it's bottomless and you may not come out. Roderick Strong, Austin Aries, and Lance Hoyt need to be, well, not Lance Hoyt as much. I don't want him found, but Roderick Strong,
I'll put it this way. I feel next month we're going to find a good amount of these people.
I feel, what about Doug Basham?
I don't know.
Doug and Danny,
the Bashams are hard. The Bashams are hard. I told you they turned to Gemini. He says, peace, Manny and Kali.
Oh, Kali!
Oh, Mark.
I said squeaky because it's Kali.
All right.
I don't feel like I said it.
We received an email from Gabriel from Portugal. He emailed us a while back. He says, hey, sharpshooters, my name is Gabriel and I love to. Oh, wait, my bad. That's Finley line. Anyway, I'm Gabriel and I don't know if you remember, but I emailed you around episode 46, the infamous episode 46.
Is it infamous?
Yes. I'm the dude you're introduced to watching TNA. From then, a lot has happened in wrestling. I would just like to comment on a few things before I get my opinions and view on this week's SmackDown. First, DX, wow. I'm amped for this, but I'm not sure it will be as great as before. Not because of Michaels being a Christian, because I'm one too, but because Triple H has been the top heel, whole carrier, and I don't see heel and face together winning over the crowd. Even though lately, W have been letting the public decide who was heel or face. Okay, so next is ECW. For Marcus to shout, because he needs... Oh, go ahead, Marcus.
Oh, ECW! Because
he needs to by now. ECW is back. This is really cool, like Carlito. I mean, ECW was cool before, but now with his new face, Kurt Angle, it would be amazing. And P.S. Taz is on the ECW page, so I don't know if he would join the brand with Styles. Okay, now to Friday Night SmackDown. First of all, people, don't say King Booker on the show, because Regal has used that word so much that SmackDown will be called Friday Night King Smack Booker Down.
But how do we hail him?
I don't know. I think that when Burchill started with the pirate thing that it would be good and it would work, but now they bring him to get beat by Monster every night. Just a sidetrack, they effed up on the pirate gimmick.
They flawed it. They had him. It was nice swinging down. That was a good point. Pulling the sword, blowing up Regal, harassing Regal. Good points. Bad points, he wasn't evil, and he didn't steal titles, he didn't steal gold, he wasn't looking for buried treasure, and he didn't go arr.
Oh, and I checked that the WWE are advertising on Wednesday, June 7th. We will have WWE versus ECW. That would be nice, in my opinion, that they will move Benoit and Dean Malenko's match to there. Overall, SmackDown was okay. Raw was way superior. For now, that's all for me. Thanks, Gabriel, for the email. Actually, I'm really not sure what they're going to do on June 7th. I don't know if it's going to be a show where it's, you know, ECW. Talking about ECW. I don't know what it's going to be.
It's going to be matches, of course, but... I don't even know how long it's going to be. It's going to be an hour, 2 hours?
2 hours.
2 hours?
Yeah.
2 hours. They're going to have probably mixed matches, you know. You're going to tease a little stuff here.
Or
maybe
they could do some show some old matches.
Nah. I don't know.
All right. Next email we receive is from Jimbo. He says, dear the Sharpshooters, I've been listening to your podcast since episode 46, and I like it. I can't wait to come home from school and download your podcast, then fall asleep to it. Your arguments are so funny. Both of you come up with good points. Now time to talk about wrestling. Points. Shit, I didn't know that. I would go in order from Raw to TNA. I missed the first part of Raw, but I did see the Kane on YouTube. The new Kane looked so funny, and I was nonstop laughing. I liked the Spirit Squad, and I really enjoyed a different type of the match W put them into. I am sick of seeing Vince on every Monday.
Yes.
I want to have a new GM so Vince will be off TV.
Yes.
I thought that John Cena would be facing CM Punk, but face Nitro. Instead, I really like how they are doing ECW today, but the one thing that last year Kurt Angle was against ECW around this time, so I think he will be part of ECW. I like how Mick Foley is going against ECW and Paul Heyman is calling him a sellout and things like that.
Prostitute.
I want to see Taz versus the King at ECW One Night Stand. I missed SmackDown because I thought that the Yankees game was on, but from what I heard, that was good. that it was good. I want to see Finley Midget. I haven't seen him yet. I hate the Great Khali. I really like TNA style of wrestling. They need a two-hour show to fit all the storylines and stuff like that. I like the Chris Sabin joking on Kevin Nash, and I also like the Raven Jeff match in the end. I think that TNA was better than Raw, like always. Thanks for taking the time to read this email. I'm not emailing every because the next couple of weeks I have finals and regents exam, but over the summer I will be emailing you guys. Jimbo, good luck on your exams, Jimbo. Mm-hmm. Get all them A's. Thanks for the email.
Or passing grades. Anyway, first, we, oh man, I just forgot what I was going to say.
You making points?
It was going to be a point of the
email. Raw? Heyman?
Oh, TNA overall this week. Would you put it overall?
No.
You wouldn't?
I like the ECW stuff. It made me feel good inside.
It made you a better person?
It made me a better person.
I think I put Impact ahead of Raw. All
right, so...
Because watching Raw is like Cena Weave all day. And besides, I'm so sick of the Cena Weave.
Marcus, let it go. Let it go.
Oh, God. Oh, I have closing statements, don't I?
I'm not finished yet. I still got one more comment.
Oh.
All right, we have one last comment. It's an audio comment from Floyd. Here it goes.
What's up, Sharpies? It's your boy, Floyd. I think this is the first week I can truly say I enjoy SmackDown better than Raw. All hail King Booker. I like it. I like it. I love it. As long as they don't overplay it, play it too long. But I love it. He's got his henchmen, his town crier. I love it. I love it. I love it. I think it's good. They let Lashley win the match. Boy, he's green. And just one thing I was thinking of, man, is it me or did the name Scott Steiner run through your head when he was doing those belly to bellies? I was like, good grief. But, hey, overall, I think it was a good match. I think it was a good SmackDown. And peace.
As you can tell from Floyd's comments, he really enjoyed the SmackDown. And King Booker. And the flips were there.
The belly to bellies now. Like Floyd. Do you think of Scott Steiner when you think of Bobby Lashley?
No.
Why not?
Because he has more moves than just the flips.
I don't know. Scott Steiner has a suplex.
Mark, I'm not going to compare Bobby Lashley to Scott Steiner. The reason I'm because not... you know why? Because Bobby Lashley has not made me want to hate him yet.
No, look, this is why they're different to me. Bobby Lashley hasn't been in the professional business. He's been, you know, lower ranks and all that. Hasn't been into the major stage in ever. He's a rookie, pretty much. Scott Steiner's been around for about 20 years. If that. You know, and he still only has three moves. Better when he wasn't muscled up and he had the Frankensteiner and he did all these other moves. Now he can't do that. All he has is belly to belly. Scott Steiner makes me sick. He epitomizes the steroid era in baseball, although this is not baseball, it's wrestling, and he disturbs me. Lashley has a lot of young potential and he seems like he can grow, unlike Scott Steiner.
All right, Marcus, thank you for that rant. Now, let me give out our website and stuff before there we get to your closing comments.
Do I have closing comments?
I thought you did.
I forgot them.
Okay, I told you. All right, so our website is thesharpshooters.blogspot.com. Our email address is thesharpshooters@gmail.com. You can leave us a voicemail via Skype, the username thesharpshooters, or dial 310-928-6889 and leave a voicemail that way. Also, please let my dream alive. I would like to make it in the top 100 in Podcast Alley. It's my new motivation. So if you have a chance, please swing by. Vote for us at Podcast Alley. If you don't know how to get there, go to our site. There's a link right there. It should take no more than 2 minutes to do it. I would really appreciate it. Also, Frapper Map and... We encourage you guys to send us artwork. I like putting different people artwork in on our thing when we put the thing out. Because, yeah. You know, we have a logo, but, you know, you never know what's going
to
do.
One, the artwork, probably don't have anything negative toward people, you know. Don't offend people. Unless it's like a wrestler or something like Finley. I mean, not Finley, but Scott Steiner. And the artwork doesn't have to actually relate the wrestling per se, but somewhat relate to the show. Somewhat.
It has to relate to wrestling, Marcus.
And the show?
Yeah. Unfortunately, this week, I do not have a retro cartoon or anything. What? I don't. I'm sorry.
There has to be something.
I was out drinking and partying.
Oh, man.
I'm sorry.
Can't you just put like a leprechaun or something? Lucky Charms.
I know. No.
It's not a cartoon, but it's a commercial.
Well, if we're going to talk about commercials, I'm not going to bring up the damn Lucky. I want to know what happened to Sugar Bear. Not Larry Zbyszko. Anyway, see, I don't have it. Next week, I will have mine.
They don't have quality cartoons for cereal anymore because apparently cereal is not
Marcus,
healthy for
we're not
kids.
Getting there. We're
it
not.
Gives
Marcus,
too much
Marcus,
energy,
we're not.
And
Marcus.
It makes them fat.
Oh, Jesus.
Just like
so
smoking.
Anyway, that pretty much does it for episode 75.
You don't have a show.
I don't, Marcus.
Then what's going to be played at the end?
I don't know, Marcus.
You can't do this.
I can too. I'm taking a week off on no show.
Oh, come on.
I'm sorry.
You can't just make up something you ain't thought about?
No. Why don't you pick a show then?
I can pick any show in the world.
Come on, then pick it.
I'm picking the greatest show ever.
Okay.
Batman. Adam
okay.
Series.
All right. Marcus has picked Batman. So Batman is the retro show for the
although night. It fits nothing with wrestling this week, what the reference is or nothing. It's you can always put Captain America. Didn't he have a cartoon?
Marcus, Batman is fine.
Spider-Man is amazing. All right. Friends.
So I'm Eric.
And I'm Marcus, the Grand Finale.
And we are the Sharpshooters. We'll see.
Oh, wait a minute. This is episode 75.
Yes.
75, we made it.
Okay.
75.
Okay.
The 75th edition of the Sharpshooters.
All right.
That's supposed to be like a milestone number, isn't it?
I don't know.
Isn't it like 25, 50, 75, 100?
You see what I have
so
to deal with? You know, he's a middle rant. We'll see you guys next week.
For episode 76.
Also, before we end this show, I would like to give a big shout out to all those people that have joined our MySpace page.
Yes, we know I forget this.
Yes, it's so many people that it's just continuing to grow and grow. So please, go on MySpace, search for us, the Sharpshooters. And add yourself as a friend. We appreciate it. You guys all like it. All right, that's it. Now we're really finished with the show.
We should
no. Marcus, bye. Get the hell out of my room now. Get out of my room, you flincher. All right, see you guys for episode 76.